You're listening to The Tao of Indifference, sex, dating, and relationship advice for an indifferent world.
Listeners, and welcome to The Tao of Indifference. I am your host, Demetrius, and today I have a very special guest. A guest host! I think you're the first guest host I've had. I've had you on as a guest, but I think you're going to make a great guest host.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to guest host.
I'm excited to have you.
And if you die, I get to be the host, right? Is that how it works?
I think,
I'm here, though.
Yes, because I don't have any male heirs.
To the podcast.
Yes, to the podcast. That, you know, if I die while you're here, it's sort of like you are, like, the hand of the king, if you watch Game of Thrones.
It's like how the vice president becomes the president for a little while if the president suddenly dies.
If there's anyone who is the Mike Pence to Mike Tomlin, yes, you might recognize her from episode 114 of the podcast.
It's me, perhaps, or at Polygal Seeks.
At Polygal Seeks! Sorry, I forgot to introduce you properly because we've had a beer.
No, it's okay. Yeah, at least we don't have four.
Not yet.
It'd be a very different podcast.
It's going to be a very different podcast if we have four. I wanted to have Polygal Seeks, a.k.a. Perhaps on the podcast to guest host. And the topic for the day is, and it's something that actually came up. I got a question when I was like, I have writer's block. I think this one is from the writer at Jen in the City.
Yeah.
Based in Toronto, who's wonderful. And it's actually been coming up a lot with other people on Twitter in general. And
yeah, also, I think a couple of our other Twitter friends have been talking about it lately, too.
It's all about how long should you put off having a talk about sort of your future family plans. But I wanted to look at it in a broader sense because there's more than just, like, do you want kids or not? Because that's, you know, it's going to be yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, when. It's a good question, but there are a lot of big things that when you're forming a big relationship might come up.
Yeah.
You should probably talk about.
You should, yeah. One of those is the most important, I think. Whether or not you want pets.
Right, sure. Yes. You got to get to the bottom of that right away. If you're like, look, I'm a goldfish person, you're a cobra person.
Oh my God. We
can never be.
I actually really love snakes.
I
love snakes.
I'm kind of afraid of them. I guess if I met someone who was a snake person, I could probably make peace with it, but I can't say that I'm a snake person.
Oh my God, they're so wonderful. They're so great. Like how they can just like taste heat in the air. And how scientists really are like, nothing else moves like them, and they're just so creepy and gross, and they shed their skin, and it's like a husk of a body, and they're basically aliens. They're wonderful.
Did you know that snakes evolved twice?
What?
Yeah, there's two lineages that led to snakes. So there's one lineage that still has a vestigial pelvis, and there's one lineage that doesn't.
What?
It happened more than once. Where, like, a lizard was like, fuck legs, I'll just be a snake.
Twice? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just for context, what's your background? That you know this?
I'm an evolutionary biologist.
Okay, so. Thank you. That's not a Wikipedia fact.
No, I wasn't, like, Googling this morning in the toilet and was like, oh, this is good, I'll use this later today.
I love that you just know that off the top of your head. That's incredible. Oh my God, that makes me love them even more.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to figure out how to not have legs. No, actually, no, I don't.
I think you'd miss
it. I don't want a snake body.
I feel like it would make dating harder.
Yeah, I don't want a cloaca, I feel like snakes have. Do snakes have cloacas?
Birds do. I'm not sure about snakes.
No, but in all seriousness, pets. It's good to know sort of what someone wants and doesn't want. So when would that come up? Is that like a first date conversation? Like, do you like dogs?
I feel like it could be a first date conversation. Like, I feel like it could be a nice thing, like, where did you grow up? Did you have pets? And someone would be like, oh, I grew up on a ranch. I had 8 dogs. They all lived outdoors. You know, it's a kind of a getting to know you thing. Mm-hmm. But it does give you some insight. Like, I have found, personally, that I am, like, drawn to cat men. Like,
really?
Yeah. I will go on, like, 4 dates with something, and it turns out that he's a cat man. I'm like, it makes sense. I'm like, somehow I can sense that when I can sense cat men, and I'm drawn to them.
Well, I know that you've said that your type would be nerdy guys.
Yeah.
Sort of introverts.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make sense, yeah, because that's very much a cat person.
True. Although, I have dated women who have dogs, and somehow that's fine, so I can't explain it.
Oh, interesting. I don't think... You know what's never happened to me? I've been dating someone for, like, months, and then find out, like, their opinion on pets. Like, I feel like if you are super into pets, you bring it up, like, date one.
Yeah.
Also because, and this is one of the things that I'm obsessed with, the Twitter account, We Rate Dogs.
Oh.
I, like, bring that up on a first date every first date. I'm like, have you heard of it?
It's a good one. I mean, there are, like, just, like, a handful of, like, safe things to talk about if you're, like, not sure.
Exactly.
Dog pics is pretty safe.
Yeah.
Episodes of I Love Lucy, pretty safe.
Ooh, yeah. Wait, unless you meet someone who's just a straight-up racist, and they're like, I don't like the interracial relationship.
But that's good to know right away, too.
That's good to know, yeah.
You're like, I don't think this is meant to be. It's good to know also if the person has allergies, especially if you have pets already.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're like, I love cats, I have 9, and they're like, I can't be around anything with fur, that's good to know.
Oh my god, I did go on 2 dates with someone who had actually had, like, 7 or 9 cats. I forget the exact number, because I feel like the number has grown in the retelling, but it was more than 5.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. It was also a lot when she was like, it'd be great if you were in my place, and the cats were all over here, and I was like, no, thank you. I'm glad I found this out on the second date.
I have 3, and I feel like 3 is the max before your house really turns into a nightmare. And even then, it's like, I have cat hair and everything. I've accepted it, but...
Yeah.
And maybe it's just my point of view. Like, maybe if I had 2, I'd be like, no, 3 is too many. But I really feel like more than 3 is a lot.
Well, I feel like you have... I think pets are, you can do at least 1.5 pets per person who lives in your house, per adult.
True. So, if you lived in, like, a house with, like, 4 roommates and,
oh,
like,
house?
6 cats.
Okay, that's,
That'd be weird. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's gotta be a hard pet somewhere.
Some number that's too many. I'm not sure what it is. It also depends, like, if you have a bunch of rats, that's very different from, like,
it's
3 St. Bernards.
Oh, God.
That's a commitment. Ooh,
that's like having more roommates.
Yes.
So, point being, mm-hmm. bring up pets early on.
Yeah, I mean...
If you have 3 St. Bernards in your tiny studio apartment, and you're going to bring someone home, they need to know, because you have 3 roommates in your studio.
Sure. I mean, if nothing else, they're going to find out right when they walk in.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So, you might as well just bring it up.
Yeah. I would say early dates, if nothing else, before they get to your apartment. If you're going to hook up with them, like, they need to know, like, before you even get into a relationship, like, if you have pets, 1, 2, if you, like, want pets in the future.
Yeah.
Especially because people do have allergies. Like,
mm-hmm.
there are some dogs who obviously, dogs and cats who are hypoallergenic, but, like, it's just good to know.
Maybe if it's your dream to have a dog and the other person is just so allergic, it's never gonna happen, then you need to make peace with whatever's gonna happen out of that. Either
you're
never gonna have that dog you've always dreamed of, or you and this person are meant to be.
Yeah. Speaking of meant to be, that has nothing to do.
Okay,
I'm terrible
sure.
at segues.
All right.
I was thinking about cohabitating, because that's obviously the next step. Once you figure out if you want pets or not, you move in together.
Sure.
How soon should you even talk about that? The thing that I have found is that not only where someone wants to live, but, like, their ideal cohabitating situation tells you a lot about them. Like, you'll say, oh, it's surprising that you want to live somewhere where you can't afford to live.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to come up with cohabiting. Like, I mean, for one, what can the two of you even afford is going to be an important part of this.
Yeah.
Like, are we Brooklyn Heights, or are we Windsor Terrace, or are we Bay Ridge? Like, or are we dumpster outside of Bay Ridge?
Ooh.
Yeah. Very affordable, but maybe ultimately untenable with the 3 St. Bernards.
It's gonna be tough.
So, I think, you gotta find out what kind of thing you want, and also, like, what matters to you, you know? Like, are you guys willing to compromise on location for space? And also, like, if one of you works from home, do you need to have an office, which means you need to have a much bigger place?
Mm.
Like, a lot of things like that have to come up when you talk about cohabiting. So, you don't want to jump the gun. I mean, it's a pretty big decision to decide to live with someone, regardless. I guess, I don't know, for me, I feel like I'd want to be with someone for at least 6 months before I moved in, at least. And even then, I feel like it would be kind of fast. But,
yeah, 6 months is kind of soon.
But, in retrospect, like, my husband and I moved in after only a year, and we were, like, 23, which now, to me, sounds insane. Yeah. But the time totally made sense, and it worked out, so I guess it's fine. So you know better than anyone else whether it's a good idea, but you gotta listen to your gut.
Yeah. The last time I lived with someone, I was 22. We dated from, I want to say, April until October. So it was about 6 months.
6 months. I mean, I think it also has something to do with how mature you are, which is a little bit of a function of how old you are, but not necessarily. Like, if you are pretty clear on, like, your vision for your life and your partner are very much on the same page about what you want, like, I think 6 months could totally be fine.
Yeah.
I think sooner than that is kind of soon, but, I mean, I don't know, like, ultimately, like, you're gonna know better than anyone, like, if it feels right.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should, I mean, none of these things you should, like, do to try to save the relationship. You'd be we're fighting a whole bunch, we should move in.
Oh, God.
That'll solve all of our problems. Yeah.
No, definitely not.
It'll create all kinds of new ones, if anything.
Yeah, I think, 6 months is, 6 months is gonna be soon, depending on, age is always a good measure of maturity, but also, like, where you are in life.
Yeah.
So, if you're 22, maybe wait longer than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wait a year. Maybe wait more than a year, because you're probably fresh out of college.
And if you're 80, you're like, life is short.
Yeah, moving. I'm 80, like, 6 months, like, let's do this. Let's spend the rest of our lives together. Mm-hmm. This 1 year we're both going to be alive.
So what if you know that you don't want to live with someone? Like, what if you are either, you know, single poly, or you're just like, I like living alone. That's what I need. I'm a very independent
person. When would you have that conversation?
Yeah, so would you wait until 6 months to bring that up, or should you talk about it sooner?
I would say I probably wouldn't wait. Well, my earliest time would be, we're talking about entering into a commitment, whatever that commitment is. Like, if you're poly and you're just saying, like, you're going to be my partner, my sweetie, my boyfriend, whatever, girlfriend, it really is just, like, when you're talking about having commitment. Because there could be people who say, you know what, I don't want to be with somebody who never wants to live with me, ever. That's important to a lot of people. Some people, it might not be important. They might say, okay, cool, you know, but...
Yeah.
You know, that's... I don't want that to come up when they're like, okay, so we've been together for 2 years. Maybe we should talk about moving in together.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to.
Right. I mean, there are married people who don't live together, like, either because they can't because of their jobs, or because they don't want to, and they also have a lot of money, which is how nice for them. But, you know, so it's not like you need to move in together to be committed.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, like, an assumption. There's, like, a cultural assumption that you'll probably move in together at some point. And so if you're the kind of person that knows you don't ever want to live with someone, you should probably bring it up, especially if it doesn't seem like the other person is aware that that is your strong preference.
I think that's there. Everyone has sort of, no matter how different you date and your style of dating, everyone, for the most, especially amongst folks who are mono and hetero, they sort of expect things to go a certain way, and it's like, you date, move in together, you start talking about your future, then you figure out, like, marriage, kids, then you move into a bigger place, then you, like, maybe get married, then you have a kid, and then that kid fits in the extra bedroom, and then you talk about upgrading, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So when you
also put this in very New York terms.
Yes, like, of course. That's the only terms I know.
You know, if you were living in a different part of the country where housing is much more affordable, like, you know, you probably move into a big place, like, right after you get married.
And, yeah, nope.
Because you're already ready, but no.
It's like, you live in a studio.
You're shoving that baby into the closet as long as it fits there until you finally give up and move to Jersey.
Yeah, or, like, upstate, super far upstate New York, Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you move in together, you move to a studio apartment in the Upper West Side.
Yeah, oh my God.
And then you move to Astoria, and then, yeah.
Oh, boy.
For the one bedroom.
Oh.
Then you move to Woodside. Yeah, that's the only way I know how relationships
work. It's a rough life, yeah.
Then you move to Kew Gardens and you rent a one-family house. Yeah, like, that's... Thank you. I always forget that other people don't live in apartments forever.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, it depends on where the country you are. And also what you want. You know, like, some people are like, oh, I want to live in the city forever, you know?
Yeah.
So that also should probably come up at some point. Around the cohabiting is like, oh, no, like, it is important to me to live downtown.
Yes, yes.
Versus someone who...
Or just Manhattan.
Yeah, or, you know, like, I want to be able to walk to places from here. Like, I don't want to live in the burbs where you can't walk to anything. Where someone's like, no, I love the burbs. I love Target and Chili's. That's my dream. That's a good conversation to have.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's really... I've actually, as I've gotten older, I've had that conversation more because it's more about... It's not only just... Because I want to stay in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But New York City has degrees of city versus suburbs. Because you can live in New York City proper and be in the suburb. Queens, mm-hmm. and most of it is suburbs. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Kew Gardens is a suburb.
Yes.
I don't want to live in Kew Gardens.
No.
I want to live near trains.
Sure, but there's also, like, parts of the city that are, like, weird. Like, Murray Hill is very not Manhattan-y Manhattan, you know what I mean?
And so, it's like, it's like being in frat row and, like, in, like, Charlotte or wherever.
Yeah, so, I mean, regardless of what city you live in, like, what neighborhood the person lives in and wants to live in is, like, a big clue about what kind of life they want to live to. So that, I mean, that gives you a clue, like, you know, if someone lives in, a very artsy warehouse neighborhood and you live in, like, a very family neighborhood, like, you know, it could just be circumstances why you guys live in very different places, but it could also be that you guys have very different visions of who you are and what you...
Right.
It's a good conversation.
Because there's a lot of people, especially... I feel like New York City more so than a lot of other cities where you just move in where you can afford to move in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do that where it's just like, you know, I don't like the financial district, but they gave us a really good deal on a 5-bedroom. I'm splitting with 8 people so that we can afford to live in New York City.
Yeah, there are a lot of compromises that happen. And there's also a lot of like weird, amazing deals that like people find out about. Like, I know my friend had this ridiculously cheap apartment in Chinatown because she, like, was born in the same region of China as the landlord happened to be. So the landlord was like, oh, great, I'll only charge you, like, $600 or something. So,
Yeah,
sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, sometimes you get lucky. That's awesome. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I have not been so lucky, unfortunately. The way we got our apartment is friends of friends were moving out, so we jumped on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. How you even find where to live is a whole other topic all in and of itself in New York City.
Oh, man.
Such a nightmare.
It really is. Basically, don't move to New York City if you're listening and you're not, and you don't live in New York City already. It's terrible. It's the best and the worst. So, moving up a step, what about, like, things like cars, property, or, you know, the thing that I most want more than anything else, a boat.
When you get into that boat ownership conversation, you really learn who your partner is on the inside. I mean, it's a good conversation. So for some people, like, they feel they might... So this, again, maybe is not super a New York-y question, like, especially about a car. And let's be honest, a boat, unless you're very wealthy.
You'd have to be super rich to have a boat in New York City.
I don't know why you would even have one, honestly, but... So, if you're thinking about getting a car, like, one of the conversations you might want to have is, like, do you want one nicest car or two crappy cars? Like, do you both need to have your own car? Which, you know, depending on your jobs and stuff, may or may not be necessary. And then another thing is, like, do you want a hybrid? Do you want a new car? You know, like, these are all, like, big things. And part of them have to do with your finances. Like, can you afford a brand new Prius? Or... Yeah. Should you drive a 1998 Honda Civic? Because that's more in line with your goals and abilities to pay for it. So there's that. But also, like, you know, some people don't see themselves as car people. Like, they want to ride a bike or take public transit. And there are places in America where that is not a way to get around, really. But there are places in America where they can, or people make it work, you know. And so when you want, I guess, if you're getting to the point where you have to have the conversation with someone... It's kind of it can be a really big investment, especially if you're going to technically both own it. Like, my friend didn't even have a driver's license, but her boyfriend and her lived together, and his car finally bit the dust, and they could not afford another used car. Like, they went to dealerships all day, and then they ended up leasing a brand new car together.
Whoa.
So she co-leased it with him.
But she couldn't actually drive it.
She couldn't actually drive it. She was, in theory, going to take driving lessons, never did for reasons. She asked him not to smoke in it. He totally smoked in it all the time. Then they broke up, and then she had to get herself off the lease. And I just feel like she paid a lot of money for nothing. I mean, he did drive her to work sometimes, but sometimes she took the bus, and I'm just like, what were you even paying for?
That was a terrible investment on her part. That sucks.
I don't think it was good. I mean, of all the regrets she has about the relationship, I don't think leasing that brand new car is, like, the biggest one, but...
That's fair.
I still think of that kind of, like, being a big bummer that she, like, probably poured a bunch of money into something that's never gonna turn into much of anything.
Yeah. So car is the main thing because, like, let's be honest, not many people own a boat. Also, you should just never buy a boat, like, unless you're super rich.
What if it's a houseboat?
Oh my god, I used to dream that I could have a houseboat as a kid.
Didn't work out. But I feel like cars is, like, so, like, anything like that, you're really looking at, you got to be pretty far into a relationship.
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, unless you're just getting something that you know isn't going to, you know, this is only going to last a year. Like, you're like, we just need something that's going to get us around for 6 months. Yeah.
But that's not something you have to talk about, like, before you enter into a relationship with somebody. Like, oh, I'm looking to get a car next year. Like,
no, and in fact, if someone rings that up at that point, it's a little bit weird.
It's like, a little bright.
Why are we talking about cars?
Unless they're like, I need to get a 98 Honda Civic, and it's just like, it's just really weird. Why would you even bring that up now? No one ever brings up cars on dates with me.
No.
But I am like your friend. I don't have a license.
Oh, you don't?
You know why?
Because you grew up in New York City.
I'm scared of cars.
You're
Being in them, being around. No, I'm kidding. No, I grew up in New York City.
Yeah.
Even though all my siblings all grew up in New York City. They all drive.
Mm-hmm.
Even my youngest brother is like 23.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me. It has nothing to do with being in New York. My mom had a car from like 93 until she left New York City.
But you can get away with it here. Like, you don't really need to have one.
I did. It's working out. I still go on dates.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. Cabs. You know, what are you going
to
do?
No, I grew up in a part of the country where a car was very necessary, so I know how to drive. My friend who works for Google says that he made a bet that my kid will ever never actually have a driver's license because it'll be all self-driving cars by the time he's old enough.
I don't think so.
So, like, that's an ambitious prediction.
Wasn't there just, like, a huge car crash that, like, injured a South Korean pop star with a self-driving car?
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's not looking good for self-driving cars.
I don't...
Taking over.
Yeah, self-driving cars sounds good, but it would be great if they were, like, rails that they could sit on. Like, mini subways. Basically, I don't want to drive. So I'm going to keep going with this.
You want to just be on a trolley.
I've never taken a trolley.
Oh.
When I was in San Francisco, like a year and a half ago, I was like, oh, the line's ridiculous. Like, this is the worst tourist trap ever.
To be fair, those trolleys don't really go anywhere you need to go. Unless you're trying to get to Fisherman's Wharf, I guess.
No, I was just trying to get on it just to get on it. But I was like, the line is crazy to go on an inefficient mode of transport. Like, no thanks. Yeah. Like,
public transit's not very good in SF. Trolleys aren't fooling themselves.
Yeah, they definitely are. I took a bus in San Francisco, and it was incredibly interesting because it rolled through the neighborhood that's, like, full of homeless people. What neighborhood is that?
Near the park or a different part? Like,
More towards the center of the city.
Oh, like near Market Street.
Yeah. And then it went through Chinatown, and then it went to, like, I guess Fisherman's Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
Wharf, and it was fascinating because New York City has that where you're like, oh, I'm going by Port Authority, and it's like, this is where all the homeless people live.
Yeah.
But, like, to go from Port Authority, no bus goes from Port Authority to Chinatown, and then to, like, South Street Seaport, like, it would just be the weirdest bus ride.
Yeah, it would
you're
be
like,
a weird
what
bus.
Bus is this? Who goes here?
Yeah.
In this order, too. It's like, Port Authority, Chinatown. South Street Seaport.
Weirdest parts of the city. Go.
Yeah. Let's go to all the places no one from New York City actually wants to go. Yeah, I would say, like, you gotta be pretty deep into a relationship to talk about, like, cars and property.
Yeah.
Especially if you're gonna do it together. I would not recommend you bring that up. Bringing up getting stuff together early on is just crazy.
It's pretty weird. I mean,
yeah, if you,
I don't know why you would need to. It should really be an individual person. And if you need someone else to buy it with you, it's odd. I mean, unless you're starting a business together, in which case you're in a relationship and starting a business together, like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's pretty
good luck.
Yeah. I've only ever read, like, one article where that works out really well. Though I did just watch an episode of Chef's Table about, the woman who started La Brea Bakery.
Oh.
She also started, she's, like, obsessed with making bread. Mm-hmm. But then it ended up, they got a divorce. So.
Well, she has the bread, so that's good.
No, she sold it.
No good.
She's got a pizza place. It's supposed to be really good. Speaking of pizza, this has nothing to do with pizza. When do you bring up finance? I just keep doing this to you. When do you talk about finances, like credit,
debt. Say you are, like, a baron and you have an inheritance. You have a barony, if you will.
Yes. Well, I guess around cohabiting it might come up because you're going to have to, like, do credit checks. And, like, they're going to find out that they're like, Liz, you're not getting this apartment.
You cannot put your name on the lease. Yeah.
We're going to ask you to leave the building right now. I think it's probably part of a longer, more serious conversation. I mean, if realistically it's a constant battle for you, like, there are debtors calling you, like, they're gonna figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Similarly, if you're very rich, I feel like they're gonna figure it out, unless you're real good at hiding it. Yeah, so I understand why you wouldn't want to tip your hand right away, but if you're in, like, a pretty serious relationship, I feel like it should probably come up.
It should come up during the dating phase.
Sure, I mean, if it doesn't come up around cohabiting, which I'm not sure why it wouldn't, then it would certainly come up at later points where things get more serious, where, you know, like a prenups or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I can't wait to never have to sign a prenup and never have anyone can gain anything from nuptials with me.
I did not sign one before I got married. It did not make sense for either of us.
Yeah, no. Unless somebody really, like, oh my god. You know, I say that, and then I'm gonna get married, things aren't gonna work out, and then in the divorce, you're like, I want all your comics. Like, no! Why didn't I sign a prenup? Now you have, like, a Spider-Man from 1972.
I mean, one thing that I found really surprising, I was seeing someone for a while, when we started seeing each other, he was married. Then, two or three months into seeing each other, I found out that they were gonna start getting a divorce. And it sounded amicable for the next few months, and then it took a weird turn. Like, money makes things weird, and, like, they had, I mean, I'm not gonna get into the whole story because it's not mine, but what started out looking like a pretty easy breezy, this is gonna be okay, we're just gonna part ways, turned ugly because of money. So being as honest as you can for as long as you can is probably a good idea, and then just, you know, keeping an eye on what's sensible and what, you know, what you need to do to protect yourself, and also to look out for the other person's well-being. It's really tricky. I don't even know really what the answer is, but it's definitely something you shouldn't ignore as important. I think it's an easy summary.
There's no real, like, this is the hard and fast rule, but for that, it should be, at minimum, if you're talking about moving in together, you should have the conversation. That conversation shouldn't happen, like, after you move in together, and it's like, surprise, you're locked in a debt with me.
Right.
But, like, when you first start dating someone, if I was on a first date with somebody, and they're like, I'm in significant debt, I'd be weirded out.
Yeah, it's a weird overshare for a first date.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get serious, spending a lot of time together, you've been together a long time, it makes sense to come up. I know, okay, so here's a question around this, too. Mm-hmm. I know someone who, he had gotten into a whole student debt nightmare where they were actually garnishing his wages at that point.
Right.
And so he didn't want to propose until that was resolved. So he didn't propose for probably 2 or 3 years, at least longer than he probably would have if he hadn't gotten into this situation.
Huh.
Because he felt like it was really important to, like, prove that he was financially responsible in order to ask for that commitment. And in some capacity, I respect that he wanted to, like, walk into it with, like, a cleaner slate than he was. But on the other hand, I feel like if I were her and I was wanting him to propose to me, I would be annoyed. I'd be like, what? Like, I'm not surprised. Like, let's just get married. Unless... Maybe there are more things I don't know, like, she had a complicated credit situation, she needed not have that associated with her, but, I don't know, what do you think about that?
I think that I like the idea of, like, I want to come in and sort of be the best version of myself, but the thing that I wouldn't put off was proposal. So I would say, look, cards on the table, this is where I am financially with my debt, I am going to propose to you, I'm going to pay off this debt, and then we can get married.
Okay, so you'd say it'd be a very
I would say, like, listen.
Yeah.
I want to be with you for the rest of my, I'm assuming for the rest of my life, but if we're married, you are now financially liable for my debt, so I would like to pay it off before we get married.
Yeah, I think that that's very responsible. I think me being the kind of person I am, I would have much more appreciated that than just waiting for 3 years.
Yeah, I think he had like, it's a he, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was a guy.
It sounds like a weird, it's like, it's very romantic, not in like romantic in like the romance period kind of way. Like, I'm chivalrous and I'm not going to propose yet because I'm not worthy, and it's very, you know, but I'm very much romantic in a practical sense, where I'd say, I want you to know that I want to be with you, but practically, it just doesn't make sense to actually be married yet.
Yeah, I would much more appreciate that than just sort of, like, waiting. And maybe they did have a conversation about this, and I don't know them that well, and that's why I don't know about it, but it seems odd to me.
Yeah, maybe it was, I'm going to propose to you at this point, but I know that everyone's going to ask, why aren't you guys married yet? It's been 3 years, so who knows?
That's true. People do get weird about long engagements.
Yeah. I had friends who, they paid for, I think, pretty much all their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So he proposed, and their engagement, they planned on it being 2 years. And they said that. They said it from the beginning. We're going to get married in 2 years. We're saving up. We're going to build it up, XYZ. And people still would be like, so what do you guys, I don't know, what's taking so long? And it's like, money! What's it? This is expensive. Like,
yeah. I mean, especially if you have a very specific vision of the kind of wedding you want, it completely makes sense. Again, especially in, like, New York City, where, like, money's tight, housing's tight, planning a party here is big bucks, you know, it would make sense that you'd want to wait longer.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't even imagine how any... the last wedding I went to was a New York City wedding, and my buddy is, you know... I was in the wedding, so I sort of got the inside scoop on, like, the planning and the cost, and I was like, this is terrible. This sounds like torture. This
is bananas.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning a New York City wedding, but I was planning a wedding long distance, and about 4 times, I think, I was like, let's just cancel it and elope. I don't want to do this. Like, what a fucking nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was serious, and my now husband a couple times was just like, well, let's think about it for a week, and if you still feel that strongly in a week, fine, you know?
He sounds like a really reasonable guy.
He's like, I get it. It's horrible. I'm not going to disagree with you. Let's just wait it out before we just toss in the towel.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's pretty funny. I'm going to jump around a bit.
Yeah.
So we're talking about finances, which sort of ties into marriage. What do you even talk about? Like, do I want to get married? Do I not want to get married? Do I want, like...
I think it's really not a first date conversation, probably.
Probably not.
Seems a little soon. I mean...
I've had that conversation. Well, not me. I didn't lead it, but I was like, that's cool that you're telling me about if you want to be married to me or not. Mm-hmm. That's weird, but okay.
I mean, in my opinion, so this is it's much harder for the person who does want to get married than the person who does not, because the person who does might be hurt or upset that they were in a relationship for a long time with someone who doesn't want to get married, especially if they feel time constraints, maybe because of fertility or whatever, or I don't know, but if they have this vision, like, I want to be married by 30, or even if they just have the vision, like, I want to be with my life partner, to be in a relationship with someone for, like, a long time, only to discover that that's not what the other person really wants, I think would be a bummer and probably be hurtful to them, especially if they thought they were on the same page with the other person.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should let it linger a very long time. It's not a first date conversation, but if you're starting to like each other, if you're thinking about being boyfriend or girlfriend, I think you might want to at least dance around it. Like, you know, you might want to be like, so where do you see
how
this
do you
going?
Feel about...
Yeah, like... Well, do you even want to be with someone long term? You know,
that's the thing. I feel like a lot of people struggle with that, because especially if you are a straight woman who knows at some point in the future I want to be married.
Yeah,
or if you're just I think straight woman is a good example, because straight men have the reputation that is probably well deserved that they are very fearful
of commitment. Yeah.
So how do you balance saying, okay, we've been together for 6 months, we are now sort of like in the early stages of being in a relationship, I am only 27, you're 29, I want to bring up that I want to be married at some point, but in a way that isn't making you feel like I want to be married next month, you know? Like, that's the thing.
I guess you could say, do you picture yourself ever being married ever? Not necessarily to me, not necessarily like in a year, but like, do you picture yourself like 50 years old, married with a couple of kids, or do you not really necessarily envision your future that way? And there might be people who don't know, but that's also an answer.
Yes, I don't know is an answer. My answer has changed as I've gotten older. My answer used to be never, then it was probably not, then like, now it's more like, hey, it's financially feasible. Maybe. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Right person. All that sort of like...
Sure.
But, you know.
That's at least a very honest answer. And someone who was like, I want to be married. Like, this is my dream. Might think that you guys aren't the perfect match. Or if you guys have, like, amazing chemistry, they might be like, okay, well, I'm willing to play this out and see how it goes, and maybe he'll be convinced.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of certain people who had very specific goals, and they met me at a time where I had hesitance to the idea of marriage, and it was just not a good fit, and it was good to know. I knew people who had every intention of never being married, but committing to one person for the rest of their life. I knew people who had vague goals of marriage at some point in the future. And now, like, where I'm like, okay, I'm okay with being married, but we have to be on the same page about what marriage means. You know, like, I couldn't meet somebody today who's like, I want to be married in 6 months, and my wedding needs to cost $250,000. Like, that's not me.
Who is this? Yeah, I don't...
Oh, to a lot of people.
I think most of us should stay away from someone like that. I think that even if you do want to get married, I think you should be wary of someone who wants to be married because they want to be married. You know, you shouldn't, because you don't want to be in a situation where you're forcing the match because it's like, well, it's the right time. I'm about 30, so it's marriage time. You know, I'm 40 and all of my eggs are about to shrivel up, so marriage now or nothing. You know, like, you don't want to be getting married because you feel like it's the right time. You want to be getting married because you feel like it's the right person. And, I mean, there have also been people who said, yeah, I never really thought I got married until I met the person I married. And I was like, I can see my life with this person. But that's telling, too, because if that's how that person might be someday and they don't feel that for you, that's information you need. And it's not even necessarily like there's something wrong with you. It's just like they're not there yet for whatever reason.
Or they're not there that with you. Not there yet with you.
Sure. I mean, it could be later, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm kind of the opinion that you can kind of tell kind of soon with people. Like, not 5 dates in, but, like, I feel like within a year, you should have a pretty good sense of, like, this is a person I could see myself marrying versus probably not. Or
at the very least, this is someone I could see myself having a future with.
Yes.
So,
if you don't want to get married, you're like, I don't think I want to get married, but, like, I would like to live with you. I don't want to live with someone else if you're a monotype, or, like, you know, like, I want us to be primary partners, and definitely if you're a poly person, you know, I feel like by a year you could have that vision of what you want with someone and be able to communicate it as best you can anyway.
Yeah, I think, so I'm thinking, if you're with someone, it's been 6 months, that's a good point to say, I never want to be married, or I potentially ever, you know, like, I'm open to it, we'll see, who knows. And then a year is a good time to figure out, like, I don't see a future with this person, they should probably know. If you don't see a future with somebody, let them know as soon as possible. Unless you've already made that clear.
I don't see a future with you, and they're like, great, cool, I'm just going to hang around for a bit. And you're like,
I've done that once. It was a stupid idea. I was like 25. Ugh. And I was like, that's cool, but I like having sex with you, so I'll stick around. That didn't work out so well.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, I know. Surprisingly, young Demetrius, not that smart. I've only gotten smarter as I've gotten older. The more gray hairs I get, each one is like a new... intelligence.
Thank God, though, right? Could you imagine if you had to live your whole life that dumb?
Ugh. Oh, man. If I had to be as dumb as I was at 25, oh, man, that would just be, like, the worst hell that I can imagine. It's like, I can think of few things that are as terrible as being as dumb as I was when I was 25.
I know.
Oh, man. It's like being as dumb as I was when I was 22. That's really... Oof. Well, yeah, I feel like you were smarter than me this
time. I mean... I still did a lot of dumb things. Like, sometimes I think, like, I would like to be able to go back to a day in my life, like, from college or something, and not be able to do anything differently, just, like, watch it like a movie.
And
hear my dumb thoughts and see my dumb actions and be like, what the hell was...
Oh, my God. I do not want to hear my dumb thoughts.
It would be fascinating. You'd be like, wow, I didn't understand so many things.
Oh, man. Oh, poor, poor dumb young versions of us. What about kids?
That's probably tied up in marriage where you want to talk about it. Especially, again, if you're, like, in a hetero-mono couple. Like, you know, people in poly relationships talk about, like, how these traditional relationships are, like, on an elevator. It's, like, live together, marriage, kids. And, like, there's, like, this very clear trajectory of, like, increasing seriousness.
Yeah.
And so, even if you don't subscribe to that elevator, you need to acknowledge that your partner may. Mm-hmm. And you need to talk about about it. Especially if you know you don't want kids. Especially if you know you really do want kids. Like, if that's the deal breaker, kids are nothing. Like, these, how important it is to you has to, and how important you think it might be to your partner has to do with how soon you should bring it up, I think. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's also probably, like, a 3 to 6 months conversation. I mean, I think to some degree you can tell about the partner after a certain point. Like, I feel like you may not even necessarily have to have an explicit conversation. But, like, if they, you know, hanging out with their niece and their best friend's baby, like, that's a clue they might like kids. And there are people like that who are like, oh, I love hanging out with other people's kids. It reminds me why I don't want to have them.
I think that you make a good point about what you expect your partner's sort of what they see is what they want. Because you might be on the fence about kids. And a lot of people are. Like, most people, I think a lot of people, until they reach the point where they sort of get why people want kids, they're on the fence about it. Like, yeah, you know, I could do it. I could see. But if your partner is gung-ho about kids, it would be unfair of you to sort of not bring it up sooner rather than later, you know? Like, if somebody's like, I want babies. All I've ever wanted is kids. I just can't wait to be a parent. Oh, my God. And it's, you know, 6 months in and you're like, yeah, we haven't brought it up yet. Like, that's, you're doing them a disservice because they clearly want children. And vice versa, if you were like, I'm baby crazy, I want to have a baby, you know, within a year, 6 months is a little too late to get that year marked, you know, like.
Yeah, you're like, well, A, timing-wise, this is you may not have a baby in a year.
Yeah. Or adoption.
Yeah.
Well, even that adoption is like a super long process. It's so intense.
Yes.
So hard.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it can move really quickly, like if you're open to a lot of variables, but in other ways it can take years and years, depending. I mean, I don't know a lot about the adoption process personally, but it seems very complicated.
Yeah.
So similarly, like if you, let's say you had cancer as a teenager and you know that you're infertile, I would say that should also maybe come up around that time. Like if both of you were like, we don't want kids, you're like, good news, it's not even possible.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. I think not only knowing what someone wants, but also if someone's saying, I can't actually do this, it comes up around the same time.
Yeah, it's an important conversation to have. Like, you know, some people feel very strongly about biological children, some people feel very strongly about adoption, and some people are very kind of, And so you might want to check in with your partner. Like, even if you both think you want kids, you may have very different ideas about how that should happen.
Or what kids means to both of you.
Right.
Because there's also, I want kids. I want kids too. And then a year down the line, you're like,
I want them now. And you're like, oh, I meant, ooh, I want them, like,
I want them by the time
later.
Yeah. You know, like, that's a good conversation to have. Especially when, if you are a woman, everyone's fertility sort of declines the older you get, but the male timeline is very different from a woman's timeline for fertility.
Yes, although I do want to point out, as I pointed out online, sperm quality does decrease with age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no,
so,
I know.
I mean, I do know some, like, my friend's father-in-law is 80 and has a 13-year-old, so, like, sure.
Yeah, anything is possible.
Live your life.
I didn't know that until, it's so many episodes ago, but I spoke to an OBGYN, and she told me, like, yeah, it actually, like, the guys were like, oh, I can have kids forever. Like, you can in theory, but it's easier when you're 30, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So, guys, your sperm isn't...
It's not perfect forever. Yeah.
Like, everything declines, because we're humans.
And I mean, and then the same thing, you know, like, there were women who, like, naturally have a baby at 52, and then there are women who are, like, you know, at 28, the doctor's like, well, you're not getting any younger, you know, so...
Yeah.
You don't... And the weird thing is, like, you don't know what your situation is, unless
until
you have...
you check, yeah.
Unless there's been a reason for you already checked, because of health problems or whatever, like, you don't know. Like, when my husband and I said we want to get pregnant, we had no idea how long it was going to take. We're like, it could take a year, it could take a month, we don't know, we don't know. So that's another thing you want to talk about too. Like, even if you are both on the same page that you want kids, you might want to think about, like, well, when specifically, and, like, what if it takes us 3 years, and things you want to think about.
Go through the entire sort of picture, because it's never as simple as, I want kids and I want kids. Magic. Then for some people it is. Like, oh, we got married and then we conceived the day of our wedding.
I mean, some people
do. Some people not, you know?
But it's hard. I mean, I definitely think it's all sort of under the marriage umbrella too, where like you need to have this conversation, especially if you think your partner really wants it, and especially if you think your partner and you want different things, or you suspect that might be the case.
Right, yeah. Which probably does happen quite a bit, I'm sure.
I think it'd be surprising if, I mean, I guess there are people where I would suspect if you're both like, you have something very much in common, like you grew up in the same neighborhood, or maybe you have the same religion, that it'd be more likely you have very similar visions.
Mm-hmm.
But in this modern era, I feel like there's a lot of variables at play.
Yeah, I've been genuinely surprised when dating someone with, like, oh, that's how soon you want kids, and that's what you want, and that's what you envision. I'm surprised you want 4 kids, considering your background, and it's just,
yeah,
you never know. Like, you can never tell just based on things you think might be, you know. Yeah. Like, I've met women who, so I've always associated, like, having lots of children with, you know, being religious and, like, being Catholic and things like that. And then you meet someone who's like, I'm an atheist and I'm a feminist, but I want to be a stay-at-home mom and I want to have 4 kids. And you're like, oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. There are people who have very strong opinions about having or not having kids. Like, some people really don't want to have them for, like, environmental reasons. Mm. They feel like, they're like, there's too many people on this earth.
Yeah, I've met a couple of those and I was like, really? That's surprising. You, I don't like it.
Yeah, or there's people who also feel really strongly about the number of kids. They're like, 1 or 2 is fine, 7 is not fine.
Well,
yeah.
7's a lot.
7 is not fine with me for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, 7 is a lot. Oh my god.
Seven
it's a
is
whole,
so many.
Jesus.
It's more than the Brady's had.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to figure out the squares.
Yeah. Alice doesn't count. She wasn't their child. She was their housekeeper.
Yes. Yes. How do they have so much money?
I don't know. The mom stayed at home and the dad was an architect. It doesn't make any sense.
TV architects make so much money.
Yeah, and they lived in Los Angeles. Like, it makes no sense.
Oh my god, they did live in Los Angeles.
I don't know. Wow. We should ask to see their tax forms.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with those Brady's. I don't trust them.
And they employed someone full-time.
They employed a full-time nanny, yeah.
To help Mrs.
And they always went to like a, what do you call it? Like a bespoke, what is bespoke butcher?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they went on a Hawaiian vacation?
No thanks.
I mean,
I never went on vacation with my, what was it? There was 4 of us growing up. My mom and my stepdad. And anytime we went on vacation, we drove there from New York City. So it's like, let's drive to Georgia. Like, there's no way we're going 6 of us on the plane, let alone 8 of them. And the nanny, and I'm pretty sure went on the vacation.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tao of Indifference podcast. If you liked this episode and want more sex, dating, and relationship advice, subscribe to the Tao of Indifference on iTunes or Stitcher. And check out the blog at taoofindifference.com for more sex, dating, and relationship advice. Thank you for listening, and good luck out there.